The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 431. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this episode of the PVD Cast. About 2 weeks ago, Weapon X, Justin Dortch, and myself sat down and recorded an episode talking about the closure of the Ohio Wrestling Alliance. And while many people enjoyed that episode and really liked it, I kind of felt like there is one other person whose voice needs to be heard in regards to the OWA, and that is my partner in crime, the man that joins me every single show, or has joined me in every single show, at the commentary table, the man that they call the Underwaiter. I'm talking about Harper the Underwaiter, is going to join me on this episode of the PVD Cast. And we're going to talk a lot about wrestling, obviously. Harper's going to share how he got started in the business, talk about his fandom for pro wrestling, how he's also works for Unsanctioned Pro Wrestling here in Columbus, Ohio, and a whole host of other topics. It's always a blast to sit down and chat with Harper. I think we make a damn good team, actually. I'm just going to be very blunt about it, and we'll talk a little more about why I feel that way when we get into our conversation. But let's not waste any time. Let me get to plugging real quickly a great sponsor. Of course, you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. I tell you every time I read this copy. In fact, half the time I go off script because it's just ingrained in me that World's Greatest Comics is the comic book store you need to visit. That's right. And they got everything that you need, from single issues to comic book collections to graphic novels to hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. I say it all the time. They have so many back issues. I'm sure if you're missing a random Batman issue or a random Silver Surfer or even a few G.I. Joe titles. All right. I guarantee you somewhere in those hundreds of issues, Jeff and the fine folks have what you need to help fill some of those slots in your collection. Don't take it from me. You need to stop by the store. That's right. The store is located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or if you're not from the area, you're not in Central Ohio where you could easily stop by the store, check them out online. WGComics.com is a web address. And they're really active on their Facebook page. Check it out, at WG Comics. And I really want to take this time once again to thank everybody down at World's Greatest Comics for being a great sponsor. I truly do appreciate it. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'm going to be joined by my broadcast partner, Harper the Underwaiter. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening, you know what? I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do the regular intro because my guest can introduce himself. he is a professional. He has it down. I'm going to let my guest go ahead and do it. Go ahead. Take it away.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the PVD Cast. My name is Harper, a.k.a. The Underwaiter, your host for all things wrestling and fun. And I am joined today by my interviewer, John Orlando. And does that sound good enough?
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, you know, I know what you can do. I mean, you know, we're the dynamic duo of commentary.
I was going to say Jekyll and Hyde, but I think I mean Thelma and Louise is more what we are.
You know what? I'll take that because I don't think I have been compared to Thelma and Louise ever in my life. So I'll take that. I'll take that.
There you go.
All right. Well, for those folks that don't know or did not pay attention to the intro or the synopsis, Harper and I were the commentary team for the last, what, year and year and a half in OWA?
2 years. It was.
Is it 2 years? Okay.
Yeah. The first show that we did together was 5 days before my birthday in 2022. That's how I've been keeping track of all this stuff. So for 2 years, I have been doing a commentary because you and I did. That was my first time doing commentary professionally. Was with you.
Yeah, I can't believe it's been 2 years.
It's flown by.
It's flown by. It has. In fact, I had a hard time wrapping my mind around the idea that OWA has been around for 5 years.
Yeah. I haven't been around for all of OWA, but I have been in the indie scene for about that long, and it's hard for me to believe just about the same.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. You've been in the indie scene for a while, so how'd you get into the indie scene?
So my dear friends and former podcast co-hosts, Fresh Voice Kyle Kraft and the Young Custodian Dom Fisher, hit me up about some local wrestling because as I am a wrestling fan, they had been talking to the promoter of Unsanctioned Pro, and I didn't go to the first show. They went to the first show. They had such a amazing time that they were going to the second one. And the question was not, "Hey, do you want to go with us?" The question was, "Do you want to go sit front row?" So that's what I did. And I'll tell you, me on commentary and me at work and me sitting front row at a wrestling show are three completely different people. Okay. You get me front row at a wrestling event and I am a wild animal. I am a wild beast. Okay. I had people telling me that they've never seen me so emotionally invested in anything in their entire lives.
Okay. Oh, wait, I do have to just interject for a moment. Was that sure. when UP was still running over on the west side in that VFW hall?
Yeah, the Moose Lodge.
The Moose Lodge, yes.
Yes. Yeah, I can't remember how many shows they did there, but yes, that was Unsanctioned Pro 2. I don't remember the show name. I should have come prepared, but but yeah, that was the one.
I believe I was at that show too.
No kidding.
Yeah, no, it was, I'm trying to think of some of the matches. I think one of the matches was Space Monkey against Scotty Young, I think, which I thought was a really good match.
I'm going to get on Cage Match right now.
Okay. All right. I went to two shows over there at the old Moose Lodge. And boy, oh boy, folks, what you don't understand, and Harper, back me up on this. The locals that would attend their Saturday evening festivities, whatever that was, at the Moose were not happy to have pro wrestling in the same building at the exact same time. Am I right?
No way. You would have these old curmudgeons over at the bar drinking their Bud Lights and their Budweisers up until, 9:30, 10 o'clock. And we would just be screaming, you effed up, or something crazy. God forget, lest we forget the time when the rejects threw the bottles of beer onto the ground, glass shatters everywhere. And the owner of the Moose Lodge comes over screaming, "Not in my bar." Where is the name? Reed, not in my bar, Bentley comes from.
Okay. Now I definitely miss that. I do. I don't remember that. It was such a weird thing. Just a weird situation, to have wrestling at that venue. But I have worked wrestling shows in even weirder places. So, I mean, yeah. that's kind of the way it goes in the indie scene. So, So then did that lead you to doing commentary with UP, obviously?
So yeah, eventually it was after I have always had like an on and off relationship with wrestling. And I was on a period where before I started going to indie shows, I was pretty much only just watching the WWE pay-per-views. And I decided to, you know, go to this indie stuff. And that led to me watching more WWE. And I think it was after AEW had started up that we decided to do our own wrestling podcast. Headlocks and Hangovers, if you find people at home, do remember that show that lasted I don't even think it was a year. Maybe it was a year. I don't know. So we were doing Headlocks and Hangovers. We were very involved with Unsanctioned Pro. We sponsored a bunch of stuff for them. And so the promoter, Derek, kind of knew that I could be an on-screen personality. I've done media outside of a podcast before. I'm not a stranger to being on camera or in front of a microphone or whatever. So being on a podcast kind of led to, hey, I'm throwing together this crazy show where we just have randoms come and do commentary for the matches. Obviously it was people that Derek knew that could speak on a microphone and not sound like a babbling third grader. And I think this was after, maybe even after I had stopped the podcast, actually. But it was called Unsanctioned Pro, What the F is Happening, I believe. And I want to say it was the first or second match that I had ever called because I did two that night. One of them was Atticus Kogar versus Billy Starks. And apparently that went well enough that they wanted me to try out for the OWA Unsanctioned Pro card, which was called, help me out here.
No, you're...
am I wrong?
Was it called Heavy Hitters? No, that was with Paradigm.
It was Back to Basics.
Back to Basics. Thank you.
Yes, that was the first show that I worked, actually, like as a full, you know, front to back commentator. So, I didn't know what to think of the whole experience. You and Justin and Derek seemed to believe in me well enough to have me on every show afterwards. So I have to be doing well. But yeah, it really, as comfortable as I am speaking in front of random strangers, generally, I tend to think that I am just a terrible commentator, but people seem to just keep bringing me back. I don't know what it is. You put me up the likes, you put me in a commentary booth with John Orlando or Nick Manoa, who I'm partnered with at Unsanctioned Pro. And I feel like I am in the presence of stardom, but for some reason I'm getting paid for this. So that's fine. I'll take it.
Well, hey, I'll say this, you know, the first day that I met you, you came prepared. And to me, that was it. Like, I was like, wow, this guy's prepared. He's prepared to take notes. He's prepared to talk to guys and take this seriously. And the other thing was, it seemed like the color commentary position in OWA for a while was cursed a little bit because I always had a different partner. And not that some of those partners were not good. I mean, I'm not saying that, but it was hard to build chemistry. It was hard to build chemistry. And I think that if I'm put on the spot and say, what makes Harper and you such a good team? I think it's that chemistry. I think that even on night one, I recognize that we have pretty damn good chemistry, excuse me. And so, yeah, I mean, it's hard to find that chemistry. It's just, especially the first night out. So I was impressed by your preparation and then just the fact that we clicked for whatever reason it was.
I agree. I've always liked our chemistry, and I wish you and I could work together more. Or even to say, I hope we have a chance to work together more, because I love our dynamic. Like, I don't know how inside baseball it is, but me being the young guy and me giving you crap for being an old man, I eat that up. That's my favorite. And kind of in a similar fashion with Nick Manawa, I'm the young hip kid and Nick Manawa is the old country fart. And I get a kick out of that too. It's fun. It's just so much fun.
And it works. It works because it adds some levity to the broadcast and it both plays to the strengths. Your strength, knowing a lot about the indie scene, and me maybe knowing more of the moves and the psychology. I think it works very, very well. I'm throwing it out there for everybody that's listening that, hey, if I get the opportunity to sit at the commentary table, I'm definitely arguing, bickering, politicking, whatever verb you want to use to try to bring you along with me, because I think we are a great package.
Yeah, I agree. At any time that I have an opportunity to throw a name out in the void for a commentary partner, I do bring you up. So
thank you. Like I said, yeah. I mean, in fact, we almost ended up, I think, ironically, getting pitched the same gig on May 3rd for JCW because it was because I didn't know that. They had reached out to you as well. I just thought they reached out to me and I was like, okay, that show was a little bit problematic for me personally, just because of my schedule. That I was like, I'm not sure I can do this because just life, you know what I mean? Life gets in the way. And so then that Saturday, when you told me that they reached out to you, I was like, oh man, well, that would have made the decision a lot easier.
Yeah. So. Well, it wouldn't have been you and I partnered up, though, is the other thing about it. Because I knew it was going to be that guy from NWA, and I didn't know any other details. I didn't know they reached out to you, so I was like, well, they must really need somebody if they're calling me. So I couldn't make it either, or else I would have been there to support. But yeah. It's such a cool feeling, I guess, to me. For you, it might be different because you've been doing this for so long, but for me, being 2 years in, and when somebody is coming through town on a televised broadcast and a wrestler throws your name out like that, it's like, hey, I know Harper. Harper's good on the mic. Here you go. That's crazy. I can't believe that. Shout out to Jeffrey John for mentioning me.
Absolutely. And I told him that privately. I'll shout out publicly as well. Thanks, Jeffrey John, as well, for thinking of me. That was world class, man. I appreciate it. And who knows? There could be some future openings where we'll get back together behind the commentary table. But let's talk a little bit about OWA. As many people that are listening to this podcast know, the doors have closed on OWA. What are some of your memories, your fondest memories, I should say, Harper, of your time with the Ohio Wrestling Alliance?
I do the Unsanctioned Pro podcast frequently, and I am often known for not remembering matches that have happened. But I do remember the people. I very vividly remember the people, and I remember the experiences. The big thing that came to my mind because I knew you were going to ask me this. The biggest thing that came to my mind when I was thinking about my experiences with OWA was Paragon, actually. At Unsanctioned Pro versus OWA Back to Basics, meeting Paragon for the first time and having him give me his whole spiel about, you know, the nicknames, the style, the charisma, you know, everything about it that he wanted me as a fledgling commentator to get over. I was just so enamored with that experience, and I will never forget that as long as I live. Paragon is one of the coolest MFers. Can I swear on this show?
Yeah, you can okay. Swear. I don't care. Go ahead.
Paragon is one of the coolest motherfuckers I've ever met. All right. So props to him, because he really made a lifelong fan out of me that day. And I mean, you guys, when you did your farewell episode for OWA, you guys really kind of hit on so many major moments. Carly Bravo jumping off of the balcony at King of Clubs was a major moment for me. Everything with AC Mack, because I loved working with AC Mack. He was one of my favorite people to talk to backstage. That was really fun. Getting to experience the uncle-esque behavior of Shug D in person. What a guy. He's just so like culture oriented and like bringing up wrestlers and making everybody show up and show out. Wow, that was super cool. The show where I don't exactly remember what had happened, but you couldn't make the show and I was originally booked to work by myself.
Yes. Well, I had a valid excuse. I had a car accident the day before, a pretty bad car accident. Yeah. And I was all sore and jammed up. And honestly, I'm not trying to be overly dramatic, but it hit me emotionally because it was a bad accident. Like the fact that I came out of that accident pretty much unscathed, like really for a few days messed with my head, you know? Because you think about your own mortality, like shit, had there been a few seconds one way or the other, I might not even be here, you know? So, and I talked to Justin about it. I'm like, man, I don't want to come and give a half-assed effort. I don't want to do it. Don't want to do it for the company. I don't want to do it for you. I don't want to do it for Harper and Will. I'm like, he flat out just stopped me in the middle of my spiel and said, listen, you are more important than this show. So if you feel like you just don't got it and you're hurting both physically and emotionally, stay home. Funniest thing about that though is he didn't tell Will. So Will starts texting me the night of the show. Where are you? I'm like, dude, did Justin not tell you? He's like, tell me what? Why is your ass here? I'm like, dude, I had a car accident yesterday. I'm damn lucky to be alive. And then he was like, oh, okay, my bad. I gotta be honest, that was that of all the shows I've been booked on in my many years of doing this, I've only missed two shows, and that was one, that one, and then there was another one for the old company I used to work for, OCW, but that was it. Those are the only two shows. I'm very proud of that fact, and I would have been there, man. I really would have been there had I not been kind of just again, not all there, if you will, mentally or physically. Otherwise, I feel bad too, because I really, that was the show with Effie, and I really wanted to see him against AC Mack. I really thought that was going to be a fun match to call. And, you know, I told you, you did a really good job.
I was kind of surprised at my proclivity for the role because that's why I don't do play-by-play, is I don't know the names of any of the moves. but I kind of found this ability to just roll with the punches as they were coming in the ring, and just kind of like you don't need to know everything. I guess because that's a, I don't know if we want to get into it, but that's a negative I hear about Excalibur on AEW a lot. He knows too many move names and he pushes away your layman. And that's something that you get from WWE, is they don't say every single move name. So I think that was maybe to my benefit that I don't know every single move name, but I know how to speak about the rhythm of a match. And that kind of carried me through. But I do want to say thanks to Jay and Chan Smith, who were with me that night, who who were with me for some very interesting matches, and this drunk friend of Justin's who called one match as well. Bless his heart. I see him around Columbus all the time because we frequent wrestling shows, and we also frequent soccer games. So I see him around, and I say what's up every now and again, but it was an experience he'll never forget, I'm sure.
Two episodes ago, when we had the celebration for OWA, I mentioned a experience that I had with the main event, and I know you were there, and I'm pretty sure you were standing right next to me when Duke Davis told us that there was nothing that he really could tell us that we, quote, do a good job of making us seem important. So just do what you do. Do you remember that?
I remember very vividly our conversation with the main event. I don't remember them specifically saying that.
Well, this was maybe the third time they had been back. They had been there for, you know, they had been used several times. And I remember we were at the King Clubs and Dukes just reached through the ropes. I was like, hey, man, you know, how you doing? We said our hellos. And I was pretty sure, I couldn't remember if you were with me or not. And I was like, hey, anything? And he's like, nah, you make us sound way more important than we are. So just keep doing what you're doing. And for that, I really took that to heart as a fantastic compliment that Duke and Gannon trusted us enough to just make them seem like they are a big deal, which they are. I mean, again, I agree with Justin. I don't know how they never got a look, but, yeah. You know, because they are super talented guys and they got great size and great athleticism. But to me, that was one of my favorite memories. And the Carly Bravo thing, for those folks, if you go back and you watch that match, that was it was genuine that I had no idea he was up on that platform and I had no idea he was going to be crazy enough to jump the hell off of that thing that was like, what, 15 feet in the air, 20 feet in the air?
Something like that.
I mean, I was like, geez. So the reaction from both of us, I believe, is the most genuine thing in any OWA broadcast we ever did.
Yeah. I make a point to, I don't like to know spots. I don't like to know finishes. So I don't ask anybody about any of that. And if they start to tell me, I'm like, well, stop, don't tell me. I want my reaction to be genuine. So yes, that if you will go back and watch that was very genuine.
So any other memories from OWA?
I remember Josh Bishop and Kevin Giza absolutely destroying each other with chairs upside the head, if you remember that.
I do.
What else do I remember? I feel like there's some people who have been canceled that I don't want to mention because I don't know who has and who has not been canceled.
Okay, that's fair.
But I will say the Fight for Pride was super special to me because I came out as gender non-binary a few years ago. I don't remember how long it's been now, maybe 3-4 years. And I last year was my first Pride parade, and so helping the Kaleidoscope Foundation was actually a really big deal. I told Justin to take my pay from that show and just to donate it directly to Kaleidoscope. And I made a donation in their favor myself as well. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's something that like Good Trouble showcases all of this young black talent in pro wrestling. And that's super important, I think. And I wish there could be more Fight for Prides. Because I also think that's important. We have Effie's Big Gay Brunch, and I'll get to go to a Big Gay Brunch one day as well. We have such a huge LGBTQ population in Columbus that I think it's a perfect place for something like that. So for me, getting to call the main event of Effie versus AC Mac was just something super special, super special. I won't forget that show. That's for sure.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Harper for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are a one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. You name it, they got it. So if you're in Central Ohio, stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they're also available online. Their website is wgcomics.com, and they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about your fandom. Obviously, you know, you're a fan of the indies, but you're also a fan of the WWE, AEW. So who are some of your favorite personalities, favorite wrestlers that are in the game today?
Oh, God. I mainly just watch AEW now. Where do I even start? My favorite wrestler on TV is probably Will Ospreay. I'm a big Will Ospreay fan. I'm a big Swerve Strickland fan. I'm a big Cody Rhodes fan. I'm a big Walter fan. I have a very big love for New Japan Pro Wrestling circa 2018, 2019. So if you give me that style of wrestling in any other company, that's what I'm there for.
Okay. That was the highlight or the pinnacle of a lot of that really awesome, high powered, high octane, really exciting Ricochet, Will Ospreay matches, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
That era. Yeah. Yeah. So that was a great era for New Japan.
You give me Hiromu, you give me Naito, you give me Okada. I could go on.
Are there any past wrestlers that you really enjoyed? Maybe you just discovered them, you know, say, you know, just a couple of years ago, you were like, oh, flipping around on YouTube and I found this person. And even though he's from the 80s, he's pretty cool.
I'll say in some of my downtime during quarantine, something that I used to do, during quarantine, something that I don't know how much you got into it, but my generation got into like video calls and like Discord and stuff like that super, super heavily. Because we couldn't go see anybody. So you would just stay at home and you'd get on Discord and you'd watch a movie together or something. So something that I got into was All Japan.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would go on YouTube. I would look up All Japan matches and we would just watch, you know, like an hour or two of All Japan matches. And I got to see, I think Suzuki was in All Japan, right?
I think he may have started out there and then went to MMA and then ended up in New Japan, if I remember correctly.
I think that was the path. And that's because everybody knows him now as the hilarious murder grandpa, but, watching old Minoru Suzuki matches was actually really interesting because you get like, it's kind of funny now that he's murder grandpa, but back then you get this like stone cold killer.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of that older Japanese style of like all these like stone faced, I'm just going to kick you as hard as I physically can guys. That is an aesthetic. That is a vibe. I am into that.
Are you a fan of Misawa?
Yes.
I knew that answer, actually. I think we've talked about him before. But, yeah, all that stuff is fantastic. And to me, I enjoy All Japan when you have the Gaijin versus the Japanese heroes. To me, like Brody and Hansen and Gordy and Dr. Death. Dude. And you know, those guys coming over and just, you know, again, hitting you as hard as I physically can hit you.
Dude, those old Stan Hansen matches are just crazy. that man, it looks like a spitting image of my dad too. So I was just imagining my dad beating the shit out of all those guys. So I was in Stan Hansen's corner, my man. That's where it was all about. But yeah, man. I can see, because Eddie Kingston talks about, you know, the four pillars all the time. And I didn't grow up with that, so I had no idea. I grew up with WCW on a Monday night. So my four pillars were, what, Sting, Flair, and God knows who else. But no, seeing who are the four pillars? Kobashi, Kawada, Misawa, and somebody else. Am I right?
Yeah, I hold on. There is a there's a thing called the internet. Misawa, Kobashi, Kawada, and Akira is a Tao. Akira, yes. Tao, correct? Yes. All right.
Seeing those now, I have so much respect, and I wish I could have experienced those at an earlier point in my life, so I would be more knowledged about mm-hmm. about those types of matches and wrestlers. I've kind of like gotten into this thing where I want to be almost like a historian. I don't know if I want to read all the books about wrestling history, but I just want a wealth of knowledge on like superstar Billy Graham or like you know, Dusty Rhodes before he was in, you know, the televised promotions, or Gorgeous George or people like that. I just mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, we're getting so far away from those stars of the past, and I want to keep that knowledge so I can be at a dinner party and be like, well, did you know?
Did you know that Mildred Burke was from Columbus, Ohio, and she was the first women's wrestling champion? And I say that only because I actually said those words. I actually said those words at work the other day to a colleague, and they were like, uh-huh, okay, thank you for that. I was like, never mind. You just got to find the right audience, Harper, you know.
Currently my claim to fame can be, well, did you know that I know somebody who used to sell weed to Alexis Bliss in high school?
Whoa.
So nice. There you go.
Oh my. That's a scoop. Ladies and gentlemen, we're breaking ground here on the PVD cast. Wow.
We're doing things.
So I know you're also a very big video gamer. So,
oh God.
What's some of your favorite video games to play?
I typically play single player games. I'm not big on like Call of Duty or stuff like that. I've played like, I mean, this is going to sound all foreign to you, I'm sure. This is going to just be a ramble on things that you don't know about.
Hey, you know what? I'm fully prepared that you're not going to talk about Sega Genesis. I'm fully prepared for that. Oh, so.
You want to talk about Sega Genesis? We can talk about Sonic Spinball, which is one of my favorite games of all time.
Okay? Oh, okay.
Sonic Spinball. Okay. That was what I got for my first birthday present, was a Sega Genesis.
Old nice. That I am.
I am, as far as like movies and video games go, I am a big fan of the games that make you think, of the games that make you sad about the horrible things that happen in the world. One of my favorite video games is called the Atlas Protocol. No, I always call it the Atlas Protocol, but that's not what it's called. It's called the Talos Principle. And it's a game about these robots that are that have, like, humans have all been dead and gone, and now robots with artificial intelligence are kind of examining the world around them through puzzles, and they're trying to make sense of everything now that the humans have gone. And it's this story about self-discovery and what it means to be human, and nature versus nurture, and all these things. And it's like, it's so fascinating. If you are a gamer out there and you like puzzles and you like to be challenged mentally and you know, through games, Talos Principle 2, I highly recommend it. But I mean, I used to be a big Dark Souls guy. I grew out of Dark Souls. I used to play the hardest video games possible, but now I've kind of chilled out and I'm getting, you know, I'm almost 30. Okay. So I want to just relax. So now I'm just sitting on my couch with my cat, playing Animal Crossing, chilling out, eating cookies. I'm just relaxing now. That's pretty much where I'm at.
How is your cat doing, by the way?
Oh, she's good. It's almost dinner time, so she's clawing and clamoring. I've locked her out of my room so she wouldn't bother us during tonight's activities, but I'm sure my other roommate is having to deal with her whining, but she will whine until she gets fed. That is her way.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's talk about a couple of quick final questions here, and then we'll get to, you know, you plugging where folks can see you and where they can read your tweets and all that jazz. I know you've told me this story, but I think maybe it's a cool story to repeat for the listeners out there. What's the origin of the underwaiter gimmick?
Okay, so a long time ago, before I had my podcast, the Headlocks and Hangovers, for those of you paying attention, my two co-hosts, Fresh Voice Kyle Kraft and the Young Custodian Dom Fisher, they came from a prior podcast that I kind of took control of. It was called, oh God, I'm trying to forget the, I can't think of the name. Heel and Face, the Heel and Face podcast. Yeah, that's what it was called. And it was those two and then their producer, whose last name I will butcher, so I'm just going to call him Steve. And they had a podcast at this studio where they just would discuss just basically everything that we would discuss. I think this was before AEW, so it was going to be just WWE, GCW, New Japan, stuff like that. And one day they asked me to be on their show because they just had like this running cycle of friends in the friend group who would just come on the show. So I agreed, and we go to the show, and they're like, okay, well, if you're going to be on the show, you have to have like a show name, like a nickname for your persona. And I was like, okay. So I gave it probably about 35 seconds of thought. and just the first thing that came to my mind was, what about the underwaiter? And they're like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, fuck it. Why not? And then, so they immediately went to go tell the producer, and the producer made a graphic. And by the time that I had reconsidered and thought, oh my God, this might be my persona for way more than just this podcast. Maybe I should make it something that's not self detrimental. I was like, hey, maybe that's not what I want to go with. They were like, too bad, we already made a graphic. So I was then the underwaiter. And at the time, I was pretty skinny. I was pretty underweight. I was like skin and bones, but I'm pretty chubby now. I wouldn't call myself the underwaiter now, except for the fact that I've got it plugged everywhere.
Well, hey, look at it this way. You know that no one's going to mistake you for somebody else. Like, that's a unique name. It's marketable. You know, so I look at it, that's a positive.
Yes.
So
yes, you get a lot of people who ask you how to spell it, but other than that, it's once they hear, you know, people are like, oh, where can I find you? I'm like, oh, just hit me on Twitter. It's at underwaiter. And they're like, there's no questions about, is it the underwaiter? Is it underwaiter 695? And it's just underwaiter. I am it. I am the one. You'll find me. You'll find nobody else. That's me, baby.
It's all right, because in indie wrestling, I've heard of some other names that you really scratch your head at. I worked a show one time where this referee, who was very elderly, said to me that his name is Basil Peacekeeper. I'm like, that's a terrible name, sir. I didn't say it to his face because I was, you know, still like only 2 or 3 years into the biz. But I'm like, that is a terrible name. Basil Peacekeeper. Wow. That's terrible. That's awful.
For a referee, I feel like the shorter, the sweeter, right?
Yeah. Like my theory is this, is that I think that, and I hate to say this, but I don't see it. I'm not insulting people, but support staff. Like, I feel like we are support staff because we are supporting the action that's going on in the ring. All right. We're not directly involved in it. And so I know some people get like pissed about that, but it's like, you make it sound like we're not important. I didn't say that. Support staff is equally as important as the wrestlers, the ring crew, the merch people. I mean, everybody on a wrestling show is important. All right. That you miss, if you're missing one of those elements, then it jams things up. I've seen it a million times happen in my career. When it comes to support staff, I think that you have to be very careful with flashy names, because I feel like, yeah, like referees should just kind of have a name and just kind of be in the background. Jake Clemens. I mean, it's got a little panache to it. Clemens, you know, it's got a little bit, you know, I hope Jake doesn't mind me using him as an example, but too late now. We're already like 30 seconds in on this analogy. but yeah, so I just think that like that needs Basil Peacekeepers is way over the top.
Yeah, I mean, because I had talked to you about it, but I was considering adding another name to my to my name, and I was going to be this will be the first time I've talked about this with more than five people. It was going to be the underwaiter Harper Dumont, because of my French background, and I was talking it over with Derek, the promoter of Unsanctioned Pro. And he said, I think for a commentator, three names is too many. And I was like, I kind of see where you're coming from, because when we're on the mic, it's just whatever's quickest and easiest is what's going to go back and forth. For me, the quickest thing out of anybody's mouth is just going to be Harper. So we're going to use Harper 95% of the time. The underwaiter is just flavor.
Right. Right.
So yeah. So for me, yeah, it's just Harper. That's all it is. It's all it needs to be, you know?
All right, last question. Future goals. What are they?
As far as wrestling?
Well, hell, anything. let's open it up to anything.
I want to get a Mercedes Benz. I want to buy a house. I'm a man who I've said this a lot in my life. I live for 3 weeks from now, and I don't plan much farther ahead than that. So for me, probably the biggest attainable goal that I can see is I would like to do commentary for GCW once at least, because, you know, I have so many friends who wrestle for GCW that putting me on a match just seems like it would make sense. And I think that would be really cool. But beyond that, nah, I don't have much. I'm not looking to go on TV and do all this, that, and the other. I like my, my humble, you know, one show a month, two shows a month kind of deal. That suits me just fine.
There you go. Being happy is what it's all about. Doing what you love. And, I can totally understand and respect that. All right, let's run down where you're going to be, where folks can find you on social media, and anything else you want to plug. Take it away, Harper.
Okay, so if you want to catch me at wrestling shows, you will find me at Unsanctioned Pro going forward. We're running the Ace of Cups every third Saturday of the month. Most months. I think we may jump back to the Valleydale Ballroom, where you can also find us. But for dates and all of that, you can look up Unsanctioned Pro on Twitter and Facebook, and also get your tickets at 614wrestling.com. You can actually get tickets for a show. I don't know when the show is going to come out, but if you hear this in time, we got a show on 5/18, baby. Unsanctioned Pro publicity stunt. We're happening. Okay. Anyway, enough about Unsanctioned Pro. If you want to follow me personally, you can hit me up at Underwaiter on Twitter. UNDERWEIGHTER, just like I'm underweight. If you want to hit me on Facebook, I believe that should also be underweighter as the URL, but it's Harper Dis Bennett. If you want to get me at Instagram, I post pictures of food and my going out nights sometimes. I like my photography. You should support my photography. That's This Isn't Brandon on Instagram. Other than that, that's about all I got. You can find me where you'll need me, but more than anything, I'll be on my couch. Thanks.
Very well done, sir. All right, with that, Harper, thanks for coming on, man. It's been fun. We'll definitely have to maybe do this again sometime.
Yeah, sure. Get me on. We'll talk about comic books. If you want to talk about, I don't know, Mad Max or something, hit me up for that too. Whatever.
Okay, you got it. You got it. Absolutely. All right, with that then, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Harper the Underwaiter, talking about our time working together in OWA. Always look forward to chatting with Harper and working with him behind the commentary table at OWA. And hopefully, as we talked about in our conversation, we will have more opportunities in the near future to, again, reunite and call some great wrestling action. All right, let me tell you where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode or any episode for that matter. Well, first of all, you can find me on X. My handle on X is at PVDMVP. You can also drop me a line over on the Facebook, Instagram, and the Threads account. Just look for at PVDcast. And if you want to be a little bit old school and maybe a little bit long-winded, you can shoot me an email. John Orlando at pvdcast.com is the email address. And maybe you want to let some folks know where they can hear the PVDcast. Well, there's a bunch of avenues for that. Well, the best place to find it is pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly, where every single episode appears, including many of the ones in the back catalog as well, right there at your fingertips, pvdcast.com. You can also hear the show through any of those major podcasting outlets. All you have to do is go to the search bar of your favorite podcasting app, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if you're listening through one of those outlets or apps, I need you to do something for me. I need you to rate and review and, of course, subscribe. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and subscribing means that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. And there's a third easy way to check out every single episode, and that is through the Facebook page on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I do a little live broadcast. So there you go, three avenues for getting the PVDcast in your ears. And I would appreciate it once again if you rate and review and share and recommend and thumbs up and all of those things to help the podcast grow. We'll greatly, humbly appreciate it. All right, with that, it's time to get on out of here. So I'm going to say thanks again for checking out this episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2024.